title of today's sermon is The Shield of Faith. Can you say that together? So open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, and I would like someone to read for me verse 16. Ephesians 6:16. New King James Version. Ephesians 6:16. New King James Version. But I can take other versions too. I can take three versions. Ephesians 6:16. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Above what? All. Oh. What's the meaning of above all?
Everything.
Yeah? What's the meaning of above all?
Most important.
Yes, very importantly. Or most importantly, above all. What, any other person? Above all. When you say above, if I'm talking, I'm not saying above all.
Things.
Sorry?
Material things.
Yes, so it's important. Yes. It's a core thing above all. Any other one? Any other person? Above all.
Like it's overarching.
Overarching above all. But you know, amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are different depths of understanding the word of God. Now, if I just take it by English, that's the meaning. But do you know that as we're saying that, and the Holy Spirit has taught me this before, he reminded me that that's not the meaning. Amen. He's actually telling you that that shield of faith has to be lifted. Hello? The shield of faith is not to protect you at the lower level because you have your breastplate. You know, you have your breastplate of what? Righteousness. It's in place. Hallelujah. The shield of faith is to be lifted above all. Because when the devil is firing his darts, he's aiming for your head. I mean, spiritually. Are you with me? Yeah? So you have to, above. It's a physical description here. Yeah? Not a logical or metaphor. You have to lift, the shield of faith is to be lifted. And that shield, yeah, is not a very big shield. Yeah? But it's big enough that when you put it in place, it will protect your face. Hallelujah? It's very, very versatile. The shield of faith is versatile. Yeah? It's not like you have a big shield that covers your whole body. No. Then you can't see. It's versatile. So whatever direction is coming from, yeah, you're lifting that shield to block it. You never know the direction in which the devil will try to get you. Yeah? But when it shows up, lift the shield of faith. Please say anything to your neighbor, smile at them, tell them, learn to lift up the shield of faith. I hope that's sinking in. It's very mobile. It's very versatile. Yeah? You cannot put the shield of faith in place and say, oh, I'm protected. You must always direct it, focus it to where the attack is. Hallelujah. You must take it, yeah, and apply to that point where you are being attacked. It's very unlikely in life that you'll be attacked from every angle. And if you are anyway, you have the other armor in place. Yeah? But where you are having the intensity of your attack, take up the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the shield of faith? And I thank God I had the plan of some Bible readings overnight, but when I woke up, the Holy Spirit dropped it in my heart. He said that you're using the wrong place. This is where I want you to focus on today. So I know that I have a specific message. Hallelujah. So the shield of faith is not just you having faith. The shield of faith is you using your faith. Yeah? To resist the attack of the enemy. Let me ask you a question. What are the different ways in which the enemy may try to attack you? We were talking about the shield of faith. And what a bit you've missed is that the shield of faith is to be lifted up. It's mobile. It's versatile. You direct it to where the attack is coming from. Hallelujah. And when time passes, the attack may not come from there anymore. It may come from another angle. You direct it there. Yeah, you direct it there. And in terms of the attacks that the shield operates, the devil is trying to get your head spiritually. And what he's using is darts. Anybody know what's the meaning of a dart? D-A-R-T. Anybody can explain to me what? Yeah? An arrow, yes. What? Is it small arrow? Yeah? Is a small arrow. And what is the advantage of a small arrow over a big arrow? What can a small arrow do for you that a big arrow may not do as effectively? Mister.
It's more precise.
It's more precise, yes, more.
It can be hidden.
It can be hidden, yes. Any other one? It's easier to undo, yes. And because it's easier to undo, what does it do for you? Sorry? It can eat, get through, eat small gaps. I like that.
They're usually fired from like a crossbow, so you can fire many more.
Many! Amen. You see, something small can do more harm than something big. Amen? They are darts. It can fire many. Yeah? And it's more difficult to detect a small arrow compared to a bigger arrow. And the Bible is revealing to us that actually when the devil is trying to attack you, yeah, he's using darts. Yeah? So you may find out at that period in your life there's a barrage of attack. Yeah? This is beyond what you can just process with your mind or with your intelligence or with your emotions. Yeah? You need the shield of faith. What I would say is about those darts that they are versatile. Yeah? Is that a good word? So also your shield must be what? Versatile. It's not a big shield. It's a mobile one that is versatile. And you are the one who has to move it. You take up. Yeah? That's enough. Above all, take it up. Lift it up. And put it in the direction where the darts are coming from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the question again is, what are the different ways in which the devil can try to attack a believer or, you know, a child of God? Yes? There are many ways. Or what are different type of attacks?
Attack health-wise.
Yes. And your health is very important. Anybody who doesn't like being healthy? You like to be sick. Yes, everybody will come and bring you food and say sorry. Anybody like that? Yeah? They'll pity you and have sympathy. Yeah? And they'll be kind to you. They will not give you any chores to do. Yeah? Anybody like that? Amen. It can attack your health. Yeah? It can attack your health. And if someone says, but you know, how does that have any impact on my spiritual life? Because if you are weak, you can't function. And you can even be discouraged. You can be low. If you are perpetually unhealthy, it can discourage you. Yes? Any other ways in which the devil can attack? Sorry?
Mentally.
Yes! I got it. Your mind. Your mental health is as important as your physical health. Actually, no. Because the mind is at the level of your soul. It's a higher level than your body. In fact, your mind controls your body. So I dare say that your mental health is more important than what? Than your physical health. If you are physically healthy, but mentally you are upside down, the body is of no use. You can't function. So it can attack your mind. And we will stay there. Because actually the greatest battleground that they will try to attack you is in your mind. You know why? Your mind is between your body and your spirit. So if it gets it, it can get a gateway to both sides. Yeah? If something wrong with your mind can affect your spiritual functioning and your physical functioning. Yes? Any other way the devil can try to attack anybody? Any other way? Yes.
Finances.
Finances. The devil can attack your finances. That's why you see when we were reading earlier, we're talking about the book of Malachi. If you read it on, he said that if you partner with God in tithing, he said, God, you know, when I read the Bible here, I want to pay attention to some specific things. When God is daring you, as in Malachi 3, God dares you. He said, yeah, try me now. Try me. Open your Bible to Malachi 3. Let's check it. Malachi chapter 3. Let's just check that, because you see, there's not many places where God is saying, actually, it's like God is moved to say, actually, you know, try me. That's like a double, triple, you know, invitation. It's like God is so moved about this matter. Malachi chapter 3, can you open there? Anybody found it? Yes, thank you for being faster than me. Malachi chapter 3. You know what, Pastor Day was here last week, he's our guest minister, and he told me, he said, you know, he noticed that the children of this church, they pay more attention, they are paying attention, they are engaging. And he said that must be a product of a lot of hard work, you know, that they can sit with the word and engage. He said he's been to a church where people, he just find the youth loitering in the toilet. Yeah? They are not engaging. So I'm just trying to say to you that it's a great value you have, where we have been trained to engage with the word. You get more because you are paying what? Attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, are you there? Okay, let's have verse. Somebody tell me. Thank you. I like my church. I didn't lie about you. But I like my own church. Amen. 8-12. Malachi 3, 8-12. Yes, would you like to read? Yes, why not? Let me see.
Okay. Following your own,
will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord.
Pause. Can you just pause there? God is telling, as in, there are not just few places in the Bible God will tell you to try me. Amen. It's like God, it's like when you read in the Bible whereby God said, God swore by himself. Because there was no other person to swear by. By the way, the Bible says she's not swear. Jesus says so. So you ask me, why can God swear? Anybody have an answer to that? How come God can swear by himself when he said you should not swear? I come back to you. Let's deal with that quickly. Come over, my darling. Give it to me. How come? Yeah, Jesus said, don't swear. But the Bible says God swore by himself. Where there was no other, when he was promising Abraham, he swore by himself because there was no other person to swear by. Why? Oh, another one. God told you not to be jealous. But God said, I am a jealous God. Okay. So
I was going to say, because God created everything. I think there's a verse that says you don't even own the hairs on your head, so you can't swear by anything because you don't.
You're in the right direction. You've not hit it, but I like the way you said it. God created everything, because he said, just said, you can't create anything, so why are you swearing? Yes, more.
Since God owns everything, you can't swear by his things.
Yes, yeah, that's where I want to go. Any other one? Yeah, in the right place. Anybody can hit that nail very well. Okay. It's because God is perfect. Amen. God is what? Perfect. You see, the reason why I just say it's not so is that the devil will use it to entrap you. Are you with me? If something is happening, that's why you say, swear. That's why you say, let your yes be what? Yes, and let your no be no. Any other thing but from this comes from evil. If you provide it, because you see, the moment you swear, you have opened a door for the devil to bring a curse into your life, because when you fail, he has a legal right. So God said, don't even give him that right. Let your yes be yes, or your no be what? No. Yes, so that you don't open a door for the devil. Hallelujah. Don't swear. Whether by your head or by heaven or hand. You don't need to. Yeah? If you are, you are a believer, you are practicing the truth. Amen? If you are practicing the truth, just say yes. Or what? Say no. And then when you make mistake, say sorry. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back now. God says, try me in this. Yeah? It's a strong statement. That means that God is being like, look, I know you may be doubting, so I want to give you a double, triple lock on this matter. Try me. I've not found many parts of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation God says, try me in this. So I should pay attention. That means it's very dear to the heart of God. Please, let's go back to our dear young lady to continue the reading. Please follow. I want to show you something there that links back to the issue of devil attacking our finances. Go on then.
And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen.
You can put up the mic. If you like, call yourself blessed from now to tomorrow. Wear a t-shirt and write the name word. Blessed. It's good. I like prefer that one than you put in a skeleton. You know, there's some clothes you should not wear. Look at them. What is the message? You're a believer. Don't go and put on the wrong message in the name of fashion. Yeah, don't be deceived. Yeah? Make sure that the message your clothes is bearing is a good fragrance of Christ. Yeah? If you cannot help yourself, just wear blank. Hallelujah. Everything matters. Please turn to your son and say everything matters. It's just that some matter more than others. But everything matters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when God is telling you to try him, he's revealing you something very important to his heart. Yeah? If he says, try me, you're telling this is important to me. And what he's saying there is that if you partner with me, yeah, I will fight for you. And actually, to be very fair, if we want to look at this scripture plainly, it's a financial issue. Amen. You give to me, and I'll take care, yeah, of your business. I'll make sure that your business, yeah, is flourishing. He's not telling you that you'll be super rich. But it's telling you that you will flourish. There's a difference between being super rich and what? Flourishing. He said you will flourish. And one of the things that can stop you from flourishing is the devourer. Imagine, in those days, their main business was agricultural. You plant, and then the locusts come. When it's time for harvest, and they eat it all up. Yeah? Is that flourishing? No. So God says that, yes, these things can happen to other people. But because you are partnering with me, when the devourers come, because you see, for God to rebuild the devourer, it has showed up. But I will not let that devourer penetrate you. You know why? Because you are business partners. You know, like if you have a business partner, yeah, and something wants to go wrong for them, you will fight because you know if it affects them, it affects you. But when God has no stake in your matter, you're on your own. It doesn't mean you won't have money. You have money. But the day the devourer shows up, you can wipe it all off. All your savings. You know, you've been saving it for 10 years, yeah? The savings of 10 years can wipe off in one day. You understand? Someone say, I'm going to invest. I'm going to build a nice house. And I'm going to use it for business. And you, all that time, you're not partnering with God. No tithe, no, you know, you didn't dishonor God. And you have that building for 10 years. But in one day, you were not there. Somebody did something. Everything came down. That's devourer. Hallelujah. And you see, someone says, does that mean bad things are not happening to Christians, they can't. But if he does, God will restore you. Hallelujah. But you see, if you are not in partnership with God, when the devourer hits you, you are finished. Hallelujah. Because you did not honor God. So the devil can attack your finances. Yeah? But your insurance package against the devil in your finances is to partner with God. It's for your benefit. Hallelujah. Who is it for? It's for your benefit. It's for you. It's just like when they say, do insurance. You know, you've never done insurance in your life. You will just resist the idea. Why do you have to do insurance to drive a car? Anybody felt like that? Yeah? Why can't I just put my car on the road? Yeah? You know, like in this country, it's legal, you must. Are you with me? Isn't it? You must, whether you like it or what, or not. But you never know the value until something happens. And you have to drop £1 million. You can't afford it, can you? No. So it's that day that the devil wants to ruin your life, that you are insuring against. Amen? Hallelujah? So when you partner with God, you are insuring your finances. Hallelujah? When I say finances, not just money. Yeah, so your supply. Yeah? Your what? Your material supply. Your work. Yeah? The fruit of your labor. Yeah? It is possible for you to be laboring hard, and everything coming in is going out. Yeah? But that's not the way. If you are flourishing, everything coming in should not be going out. Yeah? You should be getting more than you put in. Is that flourishing? If I planted a seed, and all I'm going to get at harvest is a seed. Is it worth planting? No, I should just keep this. Keep this. When you plant a seed, yeah, and you multiply. Yeah? That's good business, yeah? Good business is multiplying. Hallelujah. And one of the things that stops multiplication is the devourer. But when you partner with God, you keep the devourer away. Hallelujah. Okay? Let's say one more thing. What else can the devil attack? Yes, pass the mic. Let me see what I'm doing. Yes. Let's say one more area. So we're talking, it could attack your health, it could attack your finances, it could attack your health physically or mentally. Yeah? And let's just say one more, then we'll go to the shield of faith.
Could you use others to attack you?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, let's just clarify that. So that's not another area the devil can attack. It's just a strategy. More than half the time, the devil uses others to attack you. Yeah? Look, the devil can even use a Christian to attack you. Anybody that opens the door, he will use. Anybody that is careless, he will use. The devil can use a believer to seduce you. Yeah? If you are careless and they are careless. He can use anything and anybody. He's a thief. He just takes advantage of anything he finds. So that's one of the things that the believer, you have to make sure you are not allowing the devil to use. Say, I refuse to allow the devil to use me. Now, let me tell you, if you have a relationship in your life, I want to speak to relationship. You are human. There will be hot moments. Yeah? You see, you have a brain. Say, I have a brain. And the other person has a brain. The brains are not automatically synchronized. They have independent function. You can even say no to God. Huh? Who created your brain? How much more a human being? Yeah? So there will be moments where you disagree. Yeah? But the question you must ask yourself is that, am I going to allow the devil to use me now? Hallelujah. Yeah? When it's hot, yeah? Take a break. When it's hot, walk away. Not from the relationship, but from the hot moment. Hallelujah. Remember somebody, you know, he's saying, I'm walking away. And people are singing and happy with him. Don't walk away from your relationship. Your relationship is an important part of your mental health. If your relations are not good, your mental health cannot be good. Please turn to someone. Tell them. Say it's your relationships. And with other people are not good, it affects your mental health. So every time you invest in a relationship, though it can be demanding, you are actually investing into your mental and emotional health. You get your greatest feelings of happiness from good relationships, even more than money. In fact, if you're happy because you have money, it's because you're using the money to buy good relationships. But if you're using money to buy good relationships, the day you don't have money, all your friends will go. Hallelujah. So, when it's hot, don't give in to your emotions. You will do something that will be very harmful. And let me tell you something here. Some people in their relationship, they are doing physical harm to their relationship. And that's wrong. But some other people are not doing physical harm. They're doing what? Emotional harm. You can do more damage with your mouth than with your hand. Are you following me? And if when God will judge, He will not judge just the person that did damage with his hand. He will judge the person that did damage what? With your mouth. He says, through your words, you shall be justified. Or through your words, you shall be condemned. This is Jesus talking. So I must be careful not to do damage with my mouth. It's as sinful as doing damage with your hands. Because when you do damage with your mouth, you are hurting somebody emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. You can say something that becomes a curse to somebody else. So you are doing, so in the level of the sin, it's a greater sin because the spiritual, is more important than the physical. The mental and emotional is more important than the physical. Hallelujah. So don't do damage. Yes, it's hot. You are feeling it, but you know that the devil can use people and the devil can use you. Actually, the devil can use you. He can. He doesn't take your permission, by the way. He just looks for a loophole and he will use it. So, walk away from the hot moment. Not from the relationship. When you calm down, you can see more clearly. Hallelujah. God will help us. In Jesus' name. The Bible says now, how do you resist the devil when he throws this fairy dart? Some of the darts of the devil is in your relationship. It will just throw, a confusing or a chaotic situation. Yeah, set it up. Now both of you are ready. But Bible says that in that moment, hold up the shield of faith. I'll show you how to do that. You can throw it in your finances. You can throw it in your health, physical health or mental health. You can also throw it up. Where else? Where else can the devil attack? Attack your life? Where else? Spiritually. The devil can attack you spiritually. He can attack you in your dreams. He can actually attack you and you're feeling oppressed. You're feeling like a dark cloud is sitting over your head. That's a spiritual attack. He can. He can. So it can attack you in any layer. But I'm not saying this for us to be afraid of the devil. The purpose of this message is for you to know how to deal with the devil. Because don't forget that the devil is a created being. He's just smart. Hallelujah. The devil is the smartest being that God created. What did I say? It's in the Bible. Ezekiel 28. Read it. He said, you are the son of wisdom. Wait, let's go there. Ezekiel 28. Open it. So that you don't think I'm telling you a lie. Ezekiel. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Are you distracted, sir? I need to put that aside so you can pay attention. Ezekiel 28. Verse 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Yes, let's read it. Ezekiel 28, 11, anybody? He is describing Lucifer. Ezekiel 28, 11. Please read. Ezekiel 28, verse 11.
Then this further message came to me from the Lord, Son of Man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and exquisites in beauty. Amen.
Stop. Full of what? It's called the seal of what? Perfection. Let's have another version. Is there 28:11? Anybody? Any other version? Is there 28:11? Any? Yes. Yes. Right. Okay. You ready? Go. Ezekiel 28:11.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
So the devil is what? When he was as Lucifer, is this seal of, is perfect in beauty. The way God created Lucifer is more beautiful than any of the beautiful ladies that won the beauty pageants. Yeah, that won the beauty pageants. Lucifer was more beautiful. He's perfect in beauty. No makeup can compare. Hallelujah. And he was full of what? As I tell you, he's smarter than you. By the way God created him. Hallelujah. But when sin came in, it corrupted. You see, no matter the value you have, if sin comes in, sin what? Corrupt. Sin will take something very beautiful and corrupt it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? For example, God created sex as a beautiful thing. It's beautiful, it's holy. So when we say sex is holy. But the devil comes in to corrupt it, twist it, pervert it. That's what he does. He takes something that is perfect, beautiful, pure, holy, and his goal is what? To pervert it. He's the prince of perversion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you're going to overcome the devil, you need God. Hallelujah. You need God. You need the word of God. The word of God is your weapon against the devil. It's not going to be your brain. It's going to be the word. You can't outsmart the devil. Because he got more brain power. But you can what? You can use faith in the word. This one is superior to him. Because when a creation is falling by sin, yeah, they are falling short of the word. They don't understand the word. They know it, but they don't understand it. Hallelujah. That's why when the devil came to Jesus to tempt him, what did Jesus do? It is written. Yeah? You see, every time the devil came to tempt Jesus, he will fire a dart. Jump! From the temple top. Because the angels of God will be in charge over you. What was the devil trying to achieve? Make him proud. That's his sin. Yeah? Why would you just jump for no reason? It's not to show off. Yeah? When you are showing off, his sin. Can you imagine? That's the goal of the devil, just show off. Yeah? But what did Jesus do? He raised up the shield of faith and said, what? Did he keep quiet? You can't overcome the devil when he's attacking you in your mind by keeping him quiet. Hello? When the devil is attacking you in your mind, you can't what? You can't keep quiet. You open your mouth and declare the word of God about that situation. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Which means that, why will I jump off for nothing's sake? Yeah? It's like me tempting God. So the devil backs off because he has raised up that shield of faith against that dart. Then they will throw another dart. took him. And I said to my kids, he didn't take him physically. Why would Jesus allow the devil to carry him? We allow the devil to carry you. You? He never shows us. I said, I won't take on the trip. And you know it's the devil. We allow him to carry. So why would Jesus allow the devil to carry him? He's in the mind. You can go on a journey in your mind, you know. You know, some people have gone on a journey today in their mind. Mumba, where are you still here? You can, it's possible. You can be here and your mind is where? Sorry? So the devil took Jesus. Yeah? To where? The highest mountain. It's a mental thing. And it's a mental journey. Yeah? And began to show him all the beauties and the glories of the world. So his mind is seeing that picture. And the devil starts saying, you know what? You can have all this. I can't give this to you. If you're only going to bow down, yeah? And worship me and submit to me. He said that in his mind. It's a distraction. And you know, when they will try to give you that, it's your moment of weakness. That's maybe that moment when you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling discouraged, or you're feeling rejected, or you're feeling stressed or frustrated. Yeah? Then they will come and put an idea in your mind. That's a dart. Yeah? And his goal, yeah, is to floor you so that you sin. Every time that we strain is that he wants you to sin. Because when you sin, you are falling short of the glory of God. Yeah? And he has more room to operate. So what did Jesus do? He opened his mouth. You can't keep quiet. He said, get you behind me. Oh, yeah, the way you're looking at me, let's open the Matthew 4. Open your mouth to Matthew 4. It's like as if you don't know. It's like, did he say that? Open your Bible, please. If you're here in this church, you have a smartphone or something, open that Bible. It's important you read it for yourself. Matthew chapter 4, next verse. Who knows the verse now? Verse 10, thank you. I need someone to read. Two people, two versions. Matthew chapter 4, three versions even. If you've not read today, if you've not spoken, I'd like to engage you before we finish. And I aim to finish by 12:30. Yes, Matthew 4. Check your neighbor. People are there. If they are sleepy, tap them. Say, wakey, wakey. Matthew 4. Verse 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Please, before you do verse 10, yeah? Let me see. Let's start from verse 8 so that you see the full story of that scenario. Matthew 4, 8 to 10.
I'm reading from New King James Version. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. What version was that? New Living. New King James. Or New Living. New King James. Okay. Let's have King James. Matthew 4. Okay. Not King James today. Anybody have King James? I want original. I want you to see the phrase, get behind me. King James. Not New King James, but King James. Without the N. Okay. See, that's why you need a wife. Your wife is always there to help you. Yeah, New King James. Anybody have King James version? Yes. Yes, I've to give it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 10.
Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan.
For get thee hence. Or get behind me, Satan. Continue.
For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou save.
Amen. Okay, let's have it. What does NIV say? Verse 10. NIV verse 10.
Away from me, Satan.
Away from me, Satan.
For it is written, worship the Lord your God and save him only.
Hallelujah. Yes, what does ESV say? Matthew 4:10.
Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan.
Be gone! Please check another version you have. What does Matthew 4:10? Is there another way it said? You mean like, as you go? Hallelujah. You know, there is some revelation there. If you don't learn to say, get behind me, Satan, it will penetrate and dominate your mind. It's not every thought in your mind that is your thought. The devil is very masterful at suggesting thoughts into your mind. Those are his darts. The dart, you know, I told you they are tiny, versatile. They are thoughts. They are suggestions. He will just put it there. Yeah? Hallelujah. Either to tempt you or to distract you or to discourage you or to deceive you. Yeah? You must. The moment you recognize it, how do you know that this thought is from the devil? Someone help me. If a thought comes to your mind, how can you be sure that this is not your own thought that is from the devil? Anybody? How do you know that the thought is from the devil and not your thought?
Because it goes against the will of God.
Yes! So what happens if you don't know the will of God? How will you know? You see, a believer that doesn't know the will of God, you're in a sorry situation. Especially if you're a type of person that all your belief system is based on what people say. People. You see, let me tell you, if you have a people belief system, you always be quoting people. It's a serious problem. You will find that if you have a people belief system, you will quote people more than you quote the word of God. You will say, what do people think? This is what people are thinking. This is what people are saying. This is what people feel. This is what people do nowadays. And if that is dominating your conversation more than this is what Jesus wants or what the word was, you have a people belief system. Yeah? It's easy for Satan to navigate because people defines the world. Amen? You can't know, yeah, the ideas or suggestions of the devil until you compare it with the word. And say, that doesn't sit right. You know? Someone has gotten you angry now and you feel like revenging. Yeah? And so you suggest an idea. Why don't you... I don't know what you can suggest. Why? Yeah, sorry? Yeah, why don't you not read your Bible for a week just to show him that you're angry? To your flesh, you feel good. Like, yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm not coming for fellowship on Friday. So that pastor will understand. Yeah? That what he did was bad. And that is okay. You think that you're getting even. That's human. You feel that. You can say, that's good. He will get it. When he doesn't see me for 1 month, he will understand. Amen? But if you don't compare with the word of God, the word of God says, don't forsake the assembly, yeah, of yourselves together. The word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Then you now, they're like, that's Satan trying to get me there. Yeah? There's a better way. Why don't you go and have a conversation? Go and have a conversation. And say, Pastor, I don't like what happened. Yeah. Well, you want to get even by denying yourself of spiritual food, which makes you spiritually weaker. Then devil can penetrate you more. So I tell you something. If you miss church for 4 Sundays, just to prove a point to your pastor, who lost out? It's you. Hallelujah. Some people are not coming to church. They say, I want to prepare. Who will lose? If Jesus comes back, who will miss the rapture? So, you identify that's the devil trying to get you there. There's a better way. The Bible tells us the better way. Say, if your brother offends you, yeah? Go and meet him. If your brother offends you, go and meet him and say, you offended me. Now, the apostle said, what if I can't face up to him? He said, well, take somebody. Take somebody else with you. Yeah, that's the Bible way. But they will suggest an idea. Yeah? In all cases, it's trying to shortchange you. Hallelujah. So, you need to know the word of God. Yeah? So, as faith comes by what? No word, no faith. Can I say that again? No word. No. Many times when people say they're having faith, they don't have faith. What they're having is, they are being optimistic. So I'm having faith that God will do this for me. But it has no word. It's not faith. It's optimism. It's hope. Yeah, hope is a wish. For example, if you are playing the lottery, what are you hoping for? To win. That's not faith. That's what? That's what? You can't have faith when there's no basis. Faith is a conviction based on something. Yeah? But when there's no basis, for example, if I said, I'm going to give you £50, yeah, at the end of the week, if you come to my house for 1 hour every day, you can have faith for that. Because I'll give you my word. Hallelujah. If I'm reliable. If I've disappointed you many times, you have no reason to have faith. You shouldn't even have faith in an unreliable person. They will let you down. You should even expect them to let you down. That's faith. Human faith. Amen? Faith is expectation. But expectation is based on reliability. So if you don't have any basis, you are just hoping. You are not believing. When you have faith, you find a word that you consider reliable. Hallelujah? Faith in God is based on the word of God. Yeah? When you are depending on that word, that's faith. When you are relying on that word, that's faith. When you are acting based on your confidence in that word of God, that's what? That's faith. Hallelujah. So, the word is important. And I'm saying now that, let me just say how we are doing time. So, we are running up to 3 minutes. Is that when the idea comes, compare it with the word. When the temptation comes, compare it with the word. Yeah? When the offense comes, compare it with the word. Once they don't align, what do you say? Get out of here. Away with you. You know that there was a time that Peter came to Jesus and was suggesting him an idea. Sorry, I'm not focused on you. You're just in the perfect location of my pointing. It happens like that. Yeah? There are times that Peter came to Jesus suggesting one idea. The Bible says Peter began to rebuke Jesus and say, you're not going to the cross. Fabi, you're not going to the cross. You're not going to the cross. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. It's not aiming, targeting Peter. It's targeting the source of that idea. And you cannot, if you want to overcome the devil in your mind, you must open your mouth. Bible says, with the heart you believe, with the mouth you declare. Hallelujah. You must. He said, get behind me, Satan. But that's not enough. They say that's not enough. You know why? The devil is smart. You must back that get behind me with the word of God. Tell him what the Bible said. I would say, for example, when I'm having an idea to be angry and to revenge, say, be angry and do not sin. Bible says you can't be angry. If you can't be angry, then how do you resist evil? How do you correct a bad situation? It must annoy you before, you know. If it doesn't bother you, what will you do? Why will you do anything about it? You'll be angry. But the question is, the anger must not overcome you. You must still be able to see clearly and act rightly and righteously. You are angry, but don't ever allow yourself to be out of control. Are you with me? To be out of control is a sin. To use any drug that takes it out of control is a sin. The Bible wants you to be sober and clear-headed all the time. You know why? Because if you are sober and clear-headed, you will do the right thing. When you're out of control, yeah, it's easy to do the wrong thing. It affects your discernment.
Are you with me? So the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. So I say, get thee behind me, Satan. I refuse to let this anger control me. Amen? That way, what have we done? We have raised up the shield of faith. You see how it works? You take that word of God that counteracts the evil that the devil is trying to do in your life and resist it. Yeah? When sickness and disease shows up, it can show up. You didn't invite it. Yeah? What are you going to do? You're going to resist it. You can't accept it. It is to be fought. Fight it. Resist. Don't ever embrace it. Don't ever. Ever embrace it. Don't ever say, oh, this is going to come upon me. Don't let it come upon you. Even they told you it has come upon you, what are you supposed to do? It is to be resisted. Sickness and disease is never to be embraced. It is what? To be resisted. So say, oh, what if I don't get well? Well, you are still going to be in a better position. If sickness is dominating you 100% and sickness is dominating you 80%, which one do you prefer? Tell me. 80 is better than... Hello? Follow me what I'm trying to tell you. Like, someone say, oh, but, you know, there's no way I'm going to ever get healed of this, a disease, outcry for life. But if you resist it, you can reduce its dominance. Means that you can still function. But if you embrace it, it will dominate you. It will not stop there. It will go beyond its brief and invite something else. You know the devil, when the devil gets a room in your life, he doesn't stay. He will invite other demons. Resist the devil. How do you resist sickness and disease? You say, well, Jesus died on the cross. I believe in him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that by his stripes, I'm what? I'm healed. He did not put any exception to any sickness. Hallelujah. He did not. It's like I was in the hospital early this year. But ever from the moment I come out of the hospital, my mind is just single. I must increasingly dominate the situation. And I am. I'm going to finish the year much, 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 much better. With lighter dose of medication than I started. That is you. Resist the devil. That's where you're going to find the victory. You're not just going to submit and say, that's how it is. It is what it is. It is. It doesn't have to be what it is. Take the word of God as a shield of what? Of faith. You say, get behind me, sickness. You are not going to dominate it. Speak to it. You disease, you are not mine. Did you buy it? I refuse you. I reject you. Where is the authority? Jesus. The word of God. Except you not find it in the word. But if you find it in the word, you can claim it. I say, because the word of God said that Jesus, his body was broken. And his blood was shed. The punishment for my peace and well-being has been laid on Christ. Isaiah 53. And by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I am healed. Amen. It may not happen overnight, but if you keep on holding that shield of faith, gradually, you'll be having more and more victory. Ali, let's rise up and pray. Let's talk together. And in your prayer today, you just want to look, you want to make up your mind and say, look, my position is to resist the devil, is to quench. Bible says that when you hold up that shield of faith, and we know that the way the shield of faith operates is the word of God. And the declaration of that word in my specific situation. You must declare it. You must say, get behind me, Satan. And you must give him a dose of the word of God that he doesn't like to hear. Because that will ensure that he will go for that moment. He may show up again. He will raise it again. So go ahead and make up your mind and say, Lord, thank you. Because I have the shield of faith. How do I not have the shield of faith? Because I have access to the word of God. Pray and say, Lord, help me to give more attention. See, one of the ways that we will defeat you in your mind is that you are not giving attention to the word. So how will you have the word when you need it? Lord, I'm sorry for where I've not given attention to the word. I've watched TV, I've read books, I've read browsed the internet, I've read news, but the word, I take it for granted. I think I'm doing myself damage. I repent. And I decide to give more attention to the word. Both the one I do personally and the one I receive from the church. And then I also receive grace that when the devil suggests these ideas, these evil thoughts, evil ideas, temptations,
destruction, thoughts of defeat, thought of enslavement, that I will not submit, I will not capitulate, I will not embrace it, I will not let those birds fly over my head. I will open my mouth and say, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." That is the shield of faith. And as I do that, you have to do it. You persevere in doing it. Day and night. Anytime it shows up, that's how you deal with it. Until it will go. And you have the total victory. The Lord will help us. Say, "Victory shall be fully mine in every aspect to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen."